Hey everybody, welcome back to Java and Genuflections. I'm Jen. Have you just ever had a moment or epiphany when you wake up, you know, in a state of awakening in the morning or when you're in the shower? A lot of clarity comes to mind because your brain is not occupied elsewhere. It's like you're in a state of relaxation. For the most part, I have not been having panic attacks when I wake up in the morning for a while, knock on wood. So I'm able to have some moments of clarity. Some things that I've been struggling with lately and some ideas are why I just wanted to come here. This is a completely unplanned podcast, and it probably will sound like it. It's an unplanned episode. Disclaimer. I was sick for about a week. I am feeling better now, but my voice is still a little rough. The things I've been going through, I think it started, it's been mulling in the back of my mind for a while. Some, I will have things that are bothering me somewhere in my mind or my body, and it takes me a while for them to fully come into my consciousness to be able to even realize or have an awareness of what is bothering me. I don't know. I'm sure some of you that's going to make a lot of sense. I don't know if that's some sort of a disconnect or what it is, but I will be experiencing anxiety or sadness or what, and you know, irritability. And sometimes those are just things that stand alone, and that's fine. Other times they are an indication that I am processing something, but I'm not aware of what I'm processing. Some of you are going to be like, oh, that's me. That makes sense. Other people are going to think I'm just nuts, whatever. Over the past few weeks, I have been feeling guilty for no reason. Anxious, very, you know, down on myself, very much, look at your house, it's a mess. Look at your finances, they're a mess. Look at your, you know, your car is not working, you know, just down on myself. And while all of those things may be true, my house is a mess, my car needs work, all of those things are true, but they weigh me down so much that it almost puts me into a state of depression. And who knows which comes first, the depression or the thoughts, but that's where I've been. And I do have seasonal depression, but this feels very different than seasonal affective disorder depression that I do deal with. I have, you know, days that are open and available for me to do something, and I don't know what to do. Where do I start? Do I clean the toy room? Do I clean the living room? My carpet is dirty and needs to be cleaned. You know, do I clean my office? Do I work on my garden design downloads that I've been wanting to do? Do I do laundry? Do I clean my room? I just have too much. My brain gets all overwhelmed and it just shuts down. And then I have a day of nothing. I do nothing productive for the entire day because my brain became overwhelmed. And so I waste an entire day. And frankly, I'm tired of wasting this time. Anytime. So, gotta fix the microphone. Might be a noise. Okay. So I've been processing, like I said, some consciously, some not. What is going on? What am I looking at? What's coming next? One of the biggest looming things for me is that my granddaughter is 4 and a half. I have been taking care of her since she was born in 2019. Her parents were high schoolers, juniors actually. And she was born in June. They went back to school in August, and I have been watching her ever since. And while they were in school, they were working, I would take her, you know, sometimes I would have her you know, 3 nights a week. So, I mean, I would sometimes have her for 6-7 days, you know, at a stretch through no fault. I mean, you know, they were working, they were going to school. That's what made sense. And that's what I really love to do. As she gets older, as the kids become more successful, you know, successful, they're graduated, my son's in diesel tech. The baby's mom is going back to school and she's very successful in what she does. I am needed less and less. And, you know, my granddaughters in speech, that was one thing. I saw a video or memory from a year ago of her and I having a tea party. And I'm not going to cry, but she couldn't talk in this video. She could not talk. She made noises in the video. And I said I wasn't going to cry, but too late. I had forgotten how serious this disorder was. And that a year ago, she had sounds. She made sounds. She didn't make words. And she did signs. And I mean, it's just, oh my gosh. So anyway, I have been walking through that process with my granddaughter for speech since she was 2.5 years old, and private speech at this new place, Integrated Pediatric Therapy in Omaha, Nebraska. Phenomenal. She does speech and OT simultaneously. And I know everybody's going to say she's got the ADHD wander going on. No, I do not. I know exactly where I am in my timeline. I know where I am. Looking back at that and looking at where I am now, she's going to be going to preschool full-time next year. She's having more time, you know, with her dad and with her mom, all things that should be happening, but I have her less, and she is my raison d'etre. She's my reason for being. She's my reason for getting out of bed in the morning. And I know maybe that doesn't sound right to a lot of people, but that's who she is for me. And as she grows, I have to grow too. And I have to find a new way to channel what it is that, how I'm going to spend my time and what projects I'm going to do. Now, in this process of thinking, it has only recently come to my awareness that a lot of my issues do stem around the fact that my granddaughter is spending less time with me. She is safe and healthy and thriving, spending time with her parents. Okay, so this is about my emotions of a significant change in my life. That should be, you know, something that should be taking place. I am also dealing with, you know, we've talked about in the past where when I wake up in the morning, I used to say really negative things to myself and have a lot of anxiety and guilt and just, I noticed that I am not necessarily being as unkind to myself when I wake up in the morning, but I definitely lack a purpose when I get up in the morning. And just through thinking about it and trying to process it cognitively and unconsciously, I realized that, okay, I want to go back to work. I want to work. I miss working. That's not realistic because I'm not healthy enough to work. I have, you know, a lot of downtime. I need a lot of downtime to recover from even very basic things, which is fine. I'm disabled. That is what it is. So I'm like, okay, so what is it about work that I am missing? And I woke up this morning. Well, I laid in bed this morning and scrolled on my phone and wasted like 2 hours out of my day. And I realized, yes, the paycheck would be nice. Yes, I miss the 401k matching. Yes, I miss the, you know, health insurance and the life insurance. Side note, right now when you are listening to this, I don't care if you are 18 years old or what. And if you're perfectly healthy, especially if you're perfectly healthy, pause this, go sign up for your own life insurance policy. I don't know which one you're supposed to pick. I don't have any advice on that, but I will tell you, if you develop anything like type 1 diabetes or a chronic health condition like rheumatoid arthritis or psoriatic arthritis, conditions that are extremely common, you will not be able to get life insurance. So you're going to have to do something else as far as paying for your funeral and final expenses and things like that, and you won't have anything to borrow against. So you have to get your life insurance when you are healthy enough to do so, and before you have anything in your chart, such as, you know, type 1 diabetes or anything. And if you're sitting there and you're like, well, I don't have type 1 diabetes, how would I ever get it? I developed type 1 diabetes in my mid to late 40s, didn't get diagnosed until 50. So anybody can develop type 1 diabetes at any time because it's an autoimmune disorder. So that's a complete sidebar. I was thinking about all the things about work that I miss. And when a person has a job, they get up, they have a routine. I would get up, I took my showers at night. I would get up and, you know, make my coffee, make my breakfast, gather all my stuff together, head into work, you know, do my reg check on the ambulance and, you know, get my narcotics bag, you know, check the oil, make sure my cardiac monitor worked and I had all the supplies that I needed, get my Toughbook. I mean, I had a check sheet of, you know, what I did to get started for my day. And then, you know, I had activities that I did all day long. I had a scheduled job with a structure. That is missing from my life now. I don't have a structure. When I was married the first time, my husband was an officer in the Navy and we lived in Virginia. And I had only one friend out there, my very best friend, but she had a life. And so I, went back to the old school Monday, you know, through Friday tea towel schedule of Monday, you do the, you know, dishes, laundry, whatever it is you're going to do. Tuesday, you do this or that. There goes my phone. Sorry. So much for the my attempts to create an illusion of being in an actual studio, whereas I'm just in my basement. Anyway, I had created a schedule for myself so that I know what I'm going to do every day. I have recently discovered... Okay, I'm back. I'm going to have to, I got a phone call from my daughter. I always take phone calls from my children. Unless it's like, if I'm in an MRI machine and can't get to my phone, but I always try to answer phone calls from my children regardless. So that was my daughter. I was talking about the fact that in the past I have successfully created a schedule for myself before I went to work. Before I was working for an employer, I was renovating our house before. And when we lived in Virginia, when I first started this, creating a set routine and schedule for myself every day. Now, one thing that I have discovered is I have to set my schedule the day before. Because if I wake up at whatever time of the day and go to my handy dandy little chalkboard and try to write out a to-do list, I will be stumped for what I'm going to do. And I will have a hard time getting to do it. But if I set my intentions the night before, put it on the chalkboard the night before, I will most likely get 60 to 70% of that list done. I always have things on my list that are like a running, you know, throughout the week, do if you have time kind of thing. And so, like I said, if I make this the night before, it goes really well. Well, one thing that I've been hung up on or having a hard time with is I have a lot of stuff to do that I don't want to do, number one. And number two, that it's just so overwhelming, I don't know where to start. And I realized that obviously what I'm doing is not working. And I do like to try to improve myself, you know, on a regular basis through self-reflection. In this case, looking around and saying, oh, once again, I live in a state of chaos. This is not going to work out for me. So what I've decided to do is go back to the old school. Monday, I do this. Tuesday, I do this. Wednesday, I do this. And Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday will be for my granddaughter. Wednesday is speech in school. Thursday is what we call sleep-in day, where we catch up on our rest. She does get very tired from everything that she has going on. She's a busy kid. So Thursday is sleep-in day. Friday is speech in school and Shabbos. And now her mom's going to be picking her up after school instead of us doing it. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are spoken for. And I'm hoping that Thursday it can be, you know, like something fun. Zoo, whatever. Zoo, park, playing dolls. I love to play dolls. Those kinds of things. But what about Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday? I just kind of whatever on those days. And if you just kind of like whatever on those days, I for myself get nothing done because I can't choose an activity or when to start. Or I will start an activity. And like right now, I'm making bowl cozies. I've made a lot of those and I need to ship some of those today to some friends. But I've decided that instead of, oh, I'm going to spend my whole day cleaning my bedroom, which needs to be done. And here, let me tell you this. I feel guilty that my room's not clean. And I actually feel like I'm a bad bubby grandmother because my room is not clean. My room is perfectly sanitary. The sheets are clean. The bedding's clean. The floor is clear. I mean, there's dirty clothes, but one of my bad habits is that I keep clean and dirty clothes in hampers. I don't put it away. Somehow in my mind, that translates to making me a bad person. And I have tremendous guilt because because my room is not organized. Now everybody has clean clothes. We have clean towels. We have clean bedding. You know, we have clean tea towels. It is clean. It's just not put away. And to me, I'm a bad person because of that. And I know people are going to think, oh, that sounds ridiculous. But that is truly how I feel. I know it's not true. I know it's wrong. But for whatever reason, that's how I feel. My office being dirty does not make me feel like a bad person. The toy room being messy. I use dirty and messy interchangeably. Nothing in my house is dirty. You could go and lay down on whatever floor you wanted and it would be, you know, you're not going to get dirty or gross. You know, everything at the surfaces are all cleaned, but it's cluttered and messy. And I just feel terrible about it. I feel like it makes me a loser and I feel like it makes me lazy and bad and gross and disgusting. And I feel so much shame about it that I can't fix it. And that's when I realized today that everything that I've been processing has been, you know, me focusing on my granddaughter growing up and not being with me as much. You know, I've been really trying to keep in my mind that we don't have as much time, but we're going to have really good quality time. And, you know, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to play toys. How are we going to play toys in a messy toy room? Well, you know what? I'm going to take a day and I'm going to clean up that toy room. And then we will have that fun space to play. We play dolls. We play everything on our clean living room floor. Even though my carpet needs to be shampooed, we have a good time. We play, but I don't feel like it's adequate or proper if the space isn't clean. clutter-free. It can be clean. The carpets can be scrubbed. I mean, the floors can be swept and mopped and vacuumed and physically clean. But if it doesn't match up with some standard I can't even quantify, I'm bad. I wonder how many other people feel bad because their houses aren't just so. And I'm going to tell you that at 51 years old, this feeling has been long before social media. I know people, and I'm sure younger people, the influence comes from social media influencers and seeing all these perfect homes. And I mean, maybe subscribing to Architectural Digest in the 90s did it for me. But for me, this is childhood garbage that I'm still dealing with on a regular basis. And before I forget, another thought that I had today, and I've had it a few times. I have always been told that once somebody gets to the age of 18 years old, no matter what happened to them as children, when you get to be 18 years old, you are now your own responsibility, and it's your job to go get therapy and to get fixed and deal with whatever it happened to as a child. And I no longer believe that. I do think at 18, 19 years old, it is your job to go get therapy. But I recently learned that 18, 19 years old is really not an appropriate time for a lot of people to go get therapy because they're trying to build their lives. And so usually people are closer to being able to go in their early 20s. But here's the thing that I never considered before, and I feel was put upon me. I think that your people who abuse you and neglect you when you're growing up, parents, caregivers, whomever it is, rather than apologizing or acknowledging the garbage that they did to you, they say, you're an adult now, you go figure it out and you fix it. When in reality, there are a lot of us who our structure, our bodies, our DNA, our genes have been altered and impacted because we were abused, neglected, tormented, whatever. So at 18, 19 years old, I have been in therapy since I was 20. There is no amount of cognitive behavioral therapy or EMDR or psychiatry. Nothing is going to undo the garbage that was done to you. You're going to learn, hopefully, coping skills and process it and things like that. But when you're abused as a child, you know, there are diseases that are linked to that where you can go back and, you know, you can go and see a kid, say, you know, for example, who's my age of 51, there's a correlation between autoimmune diseases and poor health in your 50s and being abused as a child. So I no longer accept the whole, well, you're 18, 19 years old now, you have to take responsibility for your own mental health and go get help. Yes. With the understanding that when there's a lot of damage done, that person is going to be dealing with it for the rest of their life on a cellular level. I'm still dealing with all of these things after years of therapy and medication and every other thing. Child abuse, child neglect, trauma, PTSD, you know, PTSD from your job, that stuff is, it is part of you. It stains you. And that's what I'm dealing with now. So that was my little side note. I've decided to sit down so that I'm not languishing, and I'm going to create a schedule for myself as though I were going to work. I'm going to get up, drink my Diet Coke, take my insulin, take my medications, and I'm just going to have a little template for myself that I'm going to decide the night before And my first task is I'm going to tackle the toy room. I'm just going to have it set up and I'm going to see if providing myself that daily structure that isn't horribly rigid, but that daily structure, see if that helps me feel better and make better usage of my time and actually get things done, because I do want my house to be neat and tidy and organized because it's better that way. And also because then I won't have to deal with like the stress and the guilt of not having it done. So it started off with me being in bed this morning, scrolling, doom scrolling for 2 hours and realizing I felt guilty because I hadn't done X, Y, and Z, and I didn't know where to start or what to do. And I did start, I just remembered I started cleaning the hall closet and didn't finish it. So that's a little bit awkward. What was I doing? I decided to change my bedding and I was looking for the mattress cover. And so now there's a big mess outside the hall closet. Very ADHD of me, I know. And then a bunch of other things happened and I made my food and realized, oh my gosh, I have an idea. Let's do this podcast really quick, which nothing for me is ever really quick. But recapping this, if you are feeling guilty when you wake up in the morning for no reason, if you are feeling anxious, depressed, and irritable for no known reason, obviously you have to go see the doctor because the doctor can help you. But maybe it's like with me, where you are processing, you're starting to process things. And I feel like now that dam is kind of broken open for me, I have an idea of what it is that I'm dealing with and why I'm feeling the way that I feel, which is I'm moving into a new, I guess, phase of life, which is cliche. And I hate the way it sounds when I say it, but things are changing. Life is always changing. And I don't want to be sitting on the couch watching TV or scrolling on my phone or wandering through my house aimlessly, looking at doom piles and messes with no idea what I'm supposed to do or how to do it or how to go about it. So what I've learned is I'm going to make myself a schedule as though I was going to work, although I am my own boss and I'm pretty awesome. And I'm going to decide what I want to do specifically the night before. I'm going to put it on my chalkboard, and I might get myself a bigger chalkboard, and I can, because the stab of the brown would say that's my business. But I'm going to write my schedule. I'm going to put my action plans on my chalkboard, and so that when I get up in the morning, I will know what I'm going to do for the day. And I know there was a whole lot of other in this episode, but I do feel that it all is cohesive and it does go together. And I just want other people who suffered the same kinds of things that I have as far as PTSD and trauma understand that even though you're an adult now, it's still not your fault. It's you need to do what you can to feel better for yourself. But nobody should be handing you this giant burden of, well, now all of your trauma is completely your responsibility. And because I feel like that's what our parents do and society does, is, you know, nobody helps us out when we're kids. So everything that happens, you know, to kids who are abused happens. And then at 18 years old, 19 years old, on top of everything that you've already experienced, it's like you just get this 2-ton brick of, well, this is now your responsibility and therefore your fault, dumped on top of you. And I'm just here to tell you that that's not true. At no point is that garbage your fault or your mess or your responsibility. It's just stuff that you now have to deal with. And there's a lot of consequences that come from a childhood of trauma or a job that creates, you know, causes PTSD. and whatnot like that. So be nice to yourselves and be nice to your friends who, you know, if you have a friend that is struggling a little bit, maybe, you know, I wish I could go back and do a little bit of the less, you know, a little bit less of the, well, you're an adult, you know, you have to deal with it. It's not their fault anymore. That's nonsense. I'm not going to say that to anybody else ever again. I think there can be a balance between you need to fix it because it's yours and versus, you know, not giving anybody any kind of a grace or a break. So I think that wraps it up. I do have some more gardening episodes coming up because I have started the process of getting my beds ready for April. I'm excited about it. Anyway, you guys are listening. I mean, I have a lot of episodes being heard and I really appreciate that. Please feel free to leave comments. There is an option to leave comments and let people know about my podcast because I really enjoy doing it. And I know a lot of you enjoy hearing it and I appreciate all three of you. You guys have a great day. This is Jen with Java and Genuflections Bicycle.